if you're trying to build a community, pulling off a live event is kind of the ultimate move. So that's why I wanted this subject on the show. But the reason why I wanted Justin Schenk on the show specifically is, number one, he's one of my favorite podcasters. Two, I'm having my whole team go to his event at the end of May called the Growth Now Movement Summit, which I highly recommend you join us at because I would love to meet you there. And three, because I just really admire the way that he has built up this series of events based on having a podcast, building an audience, making that happen, pulled it off in 2019, got screwed by it in 2020, and then pivoted around, you know, online events. And now he's really bringing it to fruition the right way. I love the way that he's putting this event together. So there's a lot to learn here. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give my Marvel movie teaser, little moment of like the number one thing I took out. But I think you're going to get a lot out of this. I feel super compelled to give Michelle Raymond last week's episode a shout out because it's easily the most downloads I've had in 7 days in a long time. So it's obviously a really, really good show about the importance and how-tos on a LinkedIn company page. If you're curious about that, highly, highly recommend. Super high energy. It was great. And, you know, last but not least, I just want to thank you for listening to the show and being a part of this. If you notice, this is a live internet talk show. There's people live in the audience. So you're missing out on all the fun by not going to tinyurl.com/B2BCBseason5, joining us live on Mondays. Make it a part of your routine or just throw it up there and show up when you can. I'd love to see you there. But without further ado, I'm going to kick it over here to this awesome conversation with Inc. Entrepreneur Rated Top 5 Podcaster, Justin Schenk. If you know how it is, then you know how it might be. But think what it would look like if you grow your own community. It ain't easy. That's why you're listening to hear experiences from others just like you and me. Welcome to the B2B Community Builder Podcast, a show that was started because if you can unlock the power of having a community around your business, then you will create a source of referrals, validation, marketing content, and product feedback that will be unbeatable. But who has time to think about building a community when you need to be making sure that your team has what it needs to succeed in serving clients and bringing in revenue? That is why we'll be talking to business leaders like you and I that have cracked the code on why the community play is so valuable, how to implement tactics that got them there while still serving short-term goals, and what they can teach you that they have mastered. This show is for you if you are a CEO, CMO, or simply a rainmaker that has realized that without a community, you are just a commodity, but haven't figured out how to add it to your infinite list of priorities. This show is for you if you are a community professional or trying to be a community professional that is trying to convince leadership about the need to invest in a community strategy. This show is not for you if you think transactions are more valuable than relationships. I am your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez, co-founder of BeTheStage.live, a marketing company that specializes in relationship-driven growth. I invented the relationship flywheel, and hopefully I'm your new best friend. So smash that subscribe button, leave a rating when you do, and get ready to plug into the power of community creation for business development. Let's go. We are officially live on Facebook for season 5 of the B2B Community Builder Show. I'm your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez. Today, we have a very special guest. He's a gentleman that I greatly admire. He's got one of the top-rated podcasts for entrepreneurs. He has a great coaching business. He is a keynote speaker. He is launching an event that I think so highly of that I'm taking my entire leadership team to it, to a place that I have trouble pronouncing. It's spelled Lititz. How do you say it? Lititz?
Lititz, yeah.
Lititz, okay. Well,
it's not the inappropriate version of it.
I just read it phonetically how I see it. His name is Justin Schenk. host of the Growth Now Movement podcast, one of the biggest influences in my podcasting career as a interviewer and the way that you set it up. And I've just learned from him so much. And as I said, going to the Growth Now Movement Summit coming up here, May 20th?
May 20th to the 22nd, yeah.
I was right. May 20th to the 22nd. Justin, welcome to the show, my friend. Say hello.
Dude, Pablo, thank you so much for having me, dude. I'm excited to dive into this topic because obviously it's something that I've now done both in person and virtually when it comes to live events. And excited to talk about the topic, the struggles, the wins, the whys, all that fun stuff. So thank you for holding this.
I'm super pumped to get into it. I am super pumped that we already got some friends here. The community is in the house. We got Aldo in the house. Don is back. Don is checking in from Costa Rica. Let me know where y'all are from here in the chat, please. Stacy Dobis. Hello, social people. Nice to have you, Stacy. We got Rowan in the house. We got my boy, Gareth Beverly, one of my friends from high school that's like British, and now he's up in the UK, and we've reconnected. Thank you, social media. We got Jakob, my co-bro. I think you know Jakob, right? Like he's in the Brian Bogert universe and friends mm-hmm. with us. We got Mark in the house. Check in. Let us all know where you're coming from. Heartland, Michigan. Nice. I don't know where that is. Aldo's checking in from Amsterdam. All right. Welcome, Aldo. Gareth is in Annapolis right now, back to London. Gareth's like a drone expert around the world. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's like consulting at the Pentagon for like UAVs or something like that.
That's
Justin. Crazy. Yeah, man. Let's kick this thing off, dude. So many things that I can talk to you about and I have in the past. You've been a past guest. You are returning triumphant here. Today, I'm really just obsessed with the Growth Now Movement Summit and what you're putting on. And I'm really, really looking forward to it because you have this like unique vision of what a live event looks like in 2022 and you're bringing it to fruition. I'm all in. Can you just kind of describe to me what you think a live event should be, right? Like people are afraid to travel. People are, you know, they have a million options. I know that you really, really care to provide a great experience. What does that look like?
Yeah, man. And I think you hit it on the head by saying an experience. You know, it's not, when you think about my event, it's certainly not a boring conference. It's not sitting in a hotel room and waiting for the speakers to be done talking because you're just bored out of your mind. It's about the experience from the second you walk in the door to the second you leave. And I'd like to call it a day and a half long rock concert for entrepreneurs and forward thinkers and people looking to grow in the four pillars of their life. And honestly, it all comes down to the details, right? Like, what does it feel like in that room? What's the music like? What's the lighting like? What are the speakers bringing to the stage, right? The energy that they're bringing. And then more importantly, are you giving opportunity for the people to connect and to really begin to build community, right? And I think I said this when we spoke last time, but you know, live events are great and people go and they're like, hey, I'm going to learn how to do this, or I'm going to learn this. I'm going to grow my business. I'm going to grow, you know, live a happier life, whatever the case may be. But the reality is, you don't really remember so much of what's said on the stage because you're pumping people with content. But what they do remember is that experience you give them. And then the relationships they're able to curate there is what they really take to the next level. And so for me, an event is really the opportunity for humans to of course, learn, but to also grow, connect, and build whatever it is they're trying to build beyond that day. And the only way you do that is by, you know, having people be able to connect and help each other along their journey, because we can't do anything alone, right? You've got partners, I've got partners. We don't ever do anything alone. And so why not curate the room for people and also have a kicking good time the whole time too. I've never said that in my life, a kicking good time. I think it's because I'm talking to you. Like that's something you would say, but yeah.
I bring the kicking out of you. All right, man. Well, speaking of curating the room, Cameron is here. Good to have you back, Cameron. Lori, I'm so happy you could join us. Lynn's Florin, my boy, he's here as well. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, I wanna dive into how you do that, right? How you curate an experience like you were mentioning and how you enable connection and what you're talking about. But I think we'd be remiss without talking about, you've had your teeth kicked in by events, right? Like your first company, you wanted to launch an event. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about your first time trying to launch an event and what you learned?
Yeah, man, it was like 12 years ago. I put together a company with a partner of ours, and we were going to put together seminars and expos that focused on personal and professional growth, right? And it was semi-successful in the beginning. We did a very small one first. Our goal was to have 50 people there. I think we sold something like 35 tickets or something. And we had local entrepreneurs teaching business, right? And so it was an entrepreneurial event. And then we kind of moved and we grew and went to the next one, which is a customer service. And then we did a wellness one. And then we put together the first ever nonprofit expo here in Berks County, where I live, and, you know, had 150 attendees and had all these people who had set up table, all vendors, I guess they're called, set up all these vendor tables. And it was a great success. And we were like, you know what, let's double down. Clearly we have a great formula here. And we took all the money that we had saved from the business at that point, and we put it into a business expo. We paid a speaker a ton of money to come speak, and we ended up selling 3 tickets to the event. And obviously that shut our doors, right? We stopped doing it. We're like, you know what, we just kind of tapped out. And we're like, this clearly isn't for us. Now, this is before social media was ever used for any kind of promotion. Like I was on Facebook, but you didn't use it to like blow up your business. You didn't use it to build connection. You were just there to connect with old high school buddies, right? It was a different platform then. But the reality is I didn't know or didn't think I would actually get back to live events. And then what ended up happening was I built this podcast that happens to get played all over the world. And that fire was burning to bring people together. And the original idea behind me doing a live event now was that I had this great opportunity to connect with some of the world's greatest thought leaders, you know, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and it changed my life. It gave me a roadmap to find happiness, fulfillment, build a business, do all these things. And I go, well, most people don't have an Inc. Magazine top rated podcast, but what if I could give them the opportunity to not only learn from, but then connect with these individuals that have touched my life in such a meaningful way. And so that was the original idea behind Growth Now Movement Live, which I did in 2019. It's been rebranded now into a summit, but that was the original thought process. And then I said, if I went to an event, what would I want? And it was fun, right? It was entertainment. It was music. It was shorter keynotes, right? Nobody wants to sit and listen to an hour long presentation. So majority of the speakers are about 30 minutes because I have an ADD brain. And so I'm not paying attention for more than 30 minutes anyway. But then also the opportunity for people to connect to the VIP welcome party and the after party and in betweens, right? A good friend of mine, Terry Weaver, who also spoke in 2019, always says the magic happens in the margins. And so we create that opportunity for people to connect and build relationships through creating these social experiences that are fun. And obviously these speakers who I bring in purposely are very vulnerable and open. And so, and so am I, right? And so I feel like when the speaker from the stage is vulnerable and open, the people in the audience feel like they're given permission to be vulnerable and open. And what happens when you're vulnerable and open is really, really good, meaningful connection. And obviously then COVID happened and we switched to a virtual format. But thank God, finally, now in 2022, we can come together again as human beings and hug and high five and be able to come back together and really level up our lives.
You mentioned a couple of things in that story that are kind of like key to the strategy that I see you executing on this event. And I want to hit on that. But first, I would love to hit on the idea. You know, I care a lot about what content does for your life, right? Like what the idea of having a podcast, being able to connect with people is like the ultimate networking tool. And the fact that you started with a podcast that now can lead you to this like ideal of a life event because you were able to connect with these people. And now you're like, you want to bring them all in one place. Can you just kind of talk about the role of content creator and being a podcast and like opening the doors for like, is this something you plan to get back to? Or is this one of those things that like beautiful externality of like, oh my God, this works so well that now I can do something that I've always wanted to do?
Referring to what, the content creation or live events or what?
Yeah. Like when you started the podcast, did you think that you were going to find a path back to having live events or was it an externality and talk to me?
Dude, when I started the podcast, I had no idea what it would do. Like I really had no clue. And I know, you know, the story, but you know, when I first had the idea, I wanted to interview entrepreneurs because I was a failed entrepreneur 3 times over. And I was like, let me learn from the masters. And then obviously that rock bottom moment in my life when my mom passed away completely shifted my mindset to be what it became, right? Which is about, you know, finding fulfillment and finding happiness, even in your rock bottom moments. And that's really what the show became about. But I had no idea anybody would actually tune in. I didn't know this would be a business. What I thought this was going to be was a potential platform builder for people to potentially know my name and I'll start getting asked to speak at different events and do all that stuff. And now that has happened. But I never thought ever I would be putting together my own event. I didn't know people would listen in 100 countries every single week. Like what's weird, what's happening in the world right now. I just got a notification. I'm ranked like 24 in Russia out of like all podcasts. So I don't know what's happening. If I said something on the show that they started sharing it out in Russia, but there's a massive boost there. But you know, when I look at what it's become, I had no idea that I could have the opportunity to do a live event. Now, live events and bringing people together has always been a passion of mine, but I also saw when you didn't have an audience, how impossible it was or how difficult it was to do your own live event. And so when I built this audience, it kind of creeped up in the back of my head. Could I do this? Is this possible? And the scariest thing I did was back in 2018, when I finally decided I was going to do this event in May of 2019. The scariest thing was going live on Facebook and telling people I was doing this. I had no idea if anybody would buy. You know, secretly I'd hoped that I would announce it once on the podcast and it would sell out overnight, but that wasn't the case. I announced it on Facebook. I think 13 people bought tickets that night. And then by the like 2 days later, like 50 tickets were sold. And then it just kind of like stalled out. And then I started to learn, okay, even if you have an audience, there's still a lot of work to be done. And I really learned on the go. It was like one step at a time, bro. I'm a solopreneur, as you said in the description of this. I don't have an events team. My family literally worked the ticket booth or the, you know, registration tables, and they were the ones putting the chairs on and off the stage for my event in 2019. This was really about like, let me figure this out grassroots on how to do it. And I'm sure I messed up along the way. But at the same time, I had 160 people attend the first one. It was sold out. The goal was 150. And it was a great success, but it was a lot of hard work and dedication to making sure that I did everything possible to fill that room in order to honor the speakers that were doing me a great favor by speaking.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that story, man. Like an audience never hurts, man, right? Like having an audience is access to other things. It's almost like having like a big bank account, right? It gives you options, but it didn't end there. Right. And I love bringing you on, man, because you are a solopreneur. And while you have this great, you know, kind of like casino piece of an audience, you're pulling this off all by yourself. And like you said, the first sale, you know, the launch gave you 50 tickets. After that, it was hand-to-hand combat style. So like, I want to get into how you pick speakers and how you get them in. But first, I would love for you to tell me what you've learned as far as like getting butts into seats, right? Like I would imagine that somebody here like Cameron, who wants to launch an event, and Linz, who's in for a kicking good time whenever you want, you know, how do you start getting butts in the seats? What does it take to get people to show up?
Yeah, it's one person at a time. I had a talk with Chris Kremitzos, who runs PodFest. As you know, it's like the largest PodFest or podcast convention, around 2,000 plus attendees every single year. And so I was like, I need to pick this guy's brain. Found out he's done over 400 live events in his career. So he's the true live events master. And
yeah, he's
a
dude.
Can you chat? I'm not selling any tickets. I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, yeah, sure. We hopped on a call and he goes, what you need to do is you need to plan out having one conversation a day that you feel is going to move a ticket for you at any level. And he goes, and at that point I was about 90 days out. And he goes, do you want to sell 100 more tickets? He goes, you need to have a conversation every single day, if not more than one conversation. And so I began to have those conversations, and people I thought would be great to be in the audience, I'd reach out to them and say, hey, you should come to my event. If you want to hop on a call, let's do that. And so that 9 times out of 10, they'd say yes to the call. And then I was just started closing them. And then as we got closer, you notice, you know, ticket sales start to flood in a little bit again because people wait for the cooler things to happen. But with that being said, it was literally like one conversation at a time. And what I realized in this process, right, to humanize this whole entire thing, people are very special. Every single person in the world, these people that are hanging out and watching us talk, they're very special. You're very special. Every single person who comes to my event is as special as the people that are on the stage, and they want to feel like they're special. And so if it takes a conversation in order to get them in the room to an event that I feel could transform their lives, I'll do that. I'll have that conversation. And as a matter of fact, I talked to some people that I ended up saying to them, yeah, this might not be an event for you. And that's okay. Because for me, it's really about transformation. It's about giving people the opportunity that I've had over the last 6 years of the podcast to be able to grow and learn and connect and do all those things. And so I just took the time out to reinvigorate the idea that every single person who hits play on my podcast, every single person who I'd want to come to my event as an attendee, they're as special as anybody else on this planet. And so what I did was it re-engaged me into the idea that I'm in the human business. I'm not in the business to make a ton of money. I'm not in the business to be the most popular podcaster in the world. I'm in the business to connect and to help people. And so if that takes 1,000 conversations to have 1,000 tickets sold, I'm game, because I know those people are special enough to have that conversation.
I think you're striking right at the key of why I'm such a big fan of yours, man. Like that idea that every man I meet is in some way my superior, and in that I can learn from them, is another way to say everybody's special, right? Like, you know, treating folks and seeing them and having their best interest in mind at the end of the day will always win. When you started planning out, when Chris told you that, what was your move? Was it just like, email my entire list who wants a phone call with me? Did you go on Facebook and start DMing? Like, what's the grassroots effort kind of like look like to set up the 60 days of conversations?
Yeah, man. So I have a pretty decent email list, and I didn't really start using it until COVID. So I didn't even think about sending out an email and say, hey, if you're interested in hopping on a call, do this, but I should do that. That's actually genius. So with that being said, it was all through Facebook. I would literally scroll and I go, that person needs to be there. Let's shoot them a message. And I just hit them. Hey, how's everything going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, obviously I have this event coming up, and I was just thinking about some people that would really enjoy it. And I thought of you. If you wanted to hop on a call and talk about it, let's do it. Right. And look, now keep in mind, the tickets that I sell are not $5,000, not $2,000. And sometimes these phone calls would be an hour long, and the tickets at that time were like $97. And so it was really about focusing on that impact and going with a gut feel of like, this person would be a good person to have in the room. As a matter of fact, I had attendees in 2019 who are on the stage in 2022. It's not about, hey, these speakers are better than you. We're all on the same level. These speakers and these movement makers are going to be sitting in the audience with everybody else because we're all there on the same level. So yeah, man, it was all grassroots Facebook. Thank God for social media. You know, seeing somebody's post and you know, they're talking about self-development, I'm reaching out to that person. You should be here. Right. And of course you had some bumps along the road and people thinking that they were better than, but that's all part of the game, right? That's life. That's business. That's everything. And so Facebook, man, great tool for anybody to use.
That sounds super doable, man. Right. Like the idea of just like, what's your event about? Right. Like I could see Cameron, who's a very much like a endurance athlete and a personal development guy, right? Like scrolling through the feed, seeing somebody that's about to go run 100 miler or somebody that thinks that they want to do whatever, and just DM him like, hey man, I'm having this event. I'm having a bunch of other people that are going to be doing this. Come over and just go to work with that. I think that's totally doable. How much do speakers play into this? Like when you're having these conversations, is like the conversation around like, hey, Jesse Itzler is going to be there. You know, does that sell, or do people overweigh the speakers?
I think people overweigh the speakers. I certainly did. And I've got killer speakers. I really do. Yeah. Yeah, like Nick Santinastasso, who shares the stage with Tony Robbins constantly, and all these individuals. But when I think about 2019 and I go through the speaker list, right? I would say three of them were a celebrity status individual, right? Fabio Viviani from America's Top Chef, Albie Manzo from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and then Sarah Centrella, who's a multiple-time New York Times bestselling author. There was only one person who bought a ticket to my event specifically to see one of those people. She didn't care about anything else. She only bought a ticket for that. And I think the realization was people, when you're building something, people are there for you, whether it's to support you, whether it's to learn from you, whether it's to connect with you, they're really there for you. And here's the funny thing. In 2019, I didn't even speak at my own event. I just emceed it. I didn't even speak. And the biggest feedback I got from my event in 2019 was like, I wish you spoke. I wanted to hear from you. And so good news is I'm speaking in 2022. But with that being said, I outweighed it because I was like, okay, cool. I got to get these celebrity speakers. Now, when I look at the speaker list, by the way, before I even announce that I'm doing an event, I have all the speakers locked in because I get constantly pitched for people to speak at my event. And I'm like, no, it's already full. It's already full. It's already full. It's just a lot easier. And I don't like lying. So I just make sure it's full. But for me, a couple factors go into it. One, what message needs to be heard during these times, whatever is going on in the world, what do people need to hear? What impact for people can be there? That's the first thing I think about. The second thing I think about is, you know, who's going to be fully engaged? Who's not just showing up to be the baller on the stage and then leave like they're cool? right? Who can be involved? Who wants to be a part of something like this? And the third thing is, who do I want to hang out with? Look, when you're podcasting, you have people from all over the world you get to connect with, but you don't always get to meet them. Like, I have business partners that I've never met in person that are going to be speaking at the event, and it'll be the first time I meet them in person. And so when you look at that, like, it's, those are the three factors for me. And I think that kind of, that helps me curate the atmosphere that we spoke about earlier, right? That helps me curate the energy that we want in the room. Because if I know, you know, Andre Young is going to talk about leadership when frankly, in this world, leadership is lacking greatly right now. Or when you have Susie Miller talking about creating strong relationships, when relationships are falling apart because, hey, we've been virtual for 3 years, people forget what it's like to connect. You know, when you have Nick Santanastasio talking about having the right mindset, these are all things that are needed today in this day and age. And that's where I've kind of curated all these speakers. The crazy thing is, and people ask me this all the time, like, as you're doing an event, do you pay your speakers? And I'm going to say something that I'm not bragging by any means, but I'm not going to pay any of these speakers. And I don't say that to be mean. It's not that they don't deserve it. It's that I've been able to build strong relationships. And I did the math, by the way. If I collectively put all their speaker fees together, it would cost me $300,000 to have the speaker lineup that I have at my event. $300,000. And this is the power of relationship building. Some of these people I've met at events. Some of these people I've met through podcasting. Some of these individuals I've just built friendships with over time because there's a couple local people. And so with that being said, man, it's an honor to be able to do what I do. And I feel really, really blessed to have these individuals that come and speak at my event for free, which is mind blowing.
Oof. That was a golden nugget right there. I'm going to have my team clip that and paste that across all my social media channels. So if you could, just give this a pause right now, go into the show notes, and connect with me on whatever platform you like to follow me on, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you want to be a part of my life in, connect with me there. I'm going to share that clip, and you can share it with your friends so that they get the same lesson. It'll be adding value to their life. And while you're at it, go ahead and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Hit 5-star review, right? You don't have to leave a review. You just got to hit 5 stars. If you want to leave a review, cool. And maybe send the episode to your friend. That would be awesome. That's it. I'm done. Back to the show. I think that's such a gold nugget. The idea that do not blow your budget on speaker, right? Like, people think they're like, oh, if I pay Gary Vee $150,000, I'm going to have an awesome event, man. Nobody shows up for that, right? Like, it's not, right. You don't recoup that money. And it's so much more worth it to curate the message that you want to see, the people that you know are going to be there, right? Like what you said, not somebody that just like comes in, speaks and bounces, but to curate an event where you get to be a part of the stage, right? Like share the stage in some way, whether it is to make friends with a speaker or whether it is like you do to create movement makers and speakers that are kind of like the facilitators in between. I want to get into that in a second, but I want to answer Stacy's question first. So Stacy Dobis, who helps Brand Connects with their audience, and you know, she's a marketer herself. Stacy, I'm really into this idea that you're studying meta communities, cryptocurrency, and NFTs and Web3, because I'm super going down that rabbit hole too. But you know, she's asking if you still think that Facebook is the best tool to use to reach out to businesses. And when you're trying to deliver a live event for B2B, especially for Fortune 1000 companies, she keeps hearing that LinkedIn followed by Twitter are best, and would love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, I think so. When I'm thinking about reaching out to companies, obviously I have sponsors at my event. And so the question was, how do you reach out to those individuals and begin to really connect? I think in the B2B world, LinkedIn is a great way to connect. I've connected with some great CEOs of organizations and ended up talking about sponsorships with some of them. Like, we're talking huge companies like Stripe. And so I think when you're talking B2B, LinkedIn's going to be your best bet. When I was talking about reaching out through Facebook, that's really for the ticket sales, right? To answer that question. But I mean, any tool really to get in front of the right people. People ask me all the time, how do you get the guests that you do on your show? And I go, I just reach out to them. Sometimes it's LinkedIn, sometimes it's Instagram, sometimes it's Facebook. Where can you get in front of them and curate a relationship with them in order to partner with them? Whether it's them speaking, whether it's them sponsoring, whether it's them attending, what's the best avenue for you to really begin to curate that relationship? And I think that's the key, right? Like when I talk with people who are sponsors, I say, hey, look, I think this could be a really great relationship for you and I, you know, as we move forward. So for me, it's always about curating a relationship first, and then seeing kind of where it can go from there. right? It's never about a one-off connection for me. It's never about, okay, they said, no, we can't stay connected, you know, all that stuff. And I'll give an exact example. After I spoke with Stripe, they go, you know, we're not going to sponsor your event because we're looking to target tech companies specifically. But at the end of 2022, third or fourth quarter, we're launching a small business team and department. We would love to talk to you then. And so for me, it's really about that long-term relationship. And now I can be their, I'll be their guinea pig. Sure. Let's work together on, you know, work, making sure we can curate something really cool for small businesses and entrepreneurs. And you know, they're really focusing, they're going to be focusing in on the podcast world there. So Pablo, there's an in for you too. And so as we look at that, I would say first go, is this a company that I want a relationship with? Is this a person that I want a relationship with? Is this a person that I want to be friends with? And then figure out where those pieces fit in after that. I'd be lying if I didn't say I purposely didn't bring guests onto my show in hopes that one day they could speak at my event. Every single one? No. But a lot of times I'm very strategic with, cool, let me build a relationship here and see maybe where it goes. Maybe I can support them in what they're doing, and then in turn, they can support me.
I think my favorite part of what you just said there is what our number one core value is for my company, which is be relationship driven over transactional driven, right? Like, and that at the end of the day pays off because you're not just going to the till to get some cash out. You're just kind of like investing in something and hoping that it compounds in the long term. And if I can give a little bit of advice, Stacey, I think a lot of what Justin is also saying is that the context matters, right? So whatever your event is doing, I find that on Facebook, my business content doesn't do so great there, but the people there have known me for a long time, right? Like the cross section between like my mom's best friend and the person I met at a conference a week ago, you know, when something resonates there, you get something really, really going, and you're able to have, you know, it's kind of seen as a more personal relationship. So maybe one-to-one sales with your network that works. I think Twitter, LinkedIn can definitely work. It's probably better for identifying, you know, who is kind of in that space and then start to build that relationship. But chances are that if they're friends with you on Facebook, they actually know you and whatnot. While if you're reaching out from a brand, maybe LinkedIn is the more appropriate channel, or even better, the communities that you can be a part of, right? Like I know that whether it's Facebook or Mighty Networks or LinkedIn, I know that if I'm dropping something into DGMG, which is like this marketing group, I know that I get much higher response rates and more social validation because you're like closer connectivity to get to the point where they actually trust you to like pay money to go somewhere. While like if you're tweeting at somebody, you're probably just like trying to get on their radar and get a shot at building a relationship, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that stage concept, man, because I think that's really one of the real geniuses that I see in what you do in how you are facilitating connections with people. Tell me more about how you approach that whole like speaker in the audience and who your movement makers are and what that whole infrastructure represents for you.
Yeah. Like I said, these are individuals that I've just built really good friendships with, and we've supported each other in many different avenues. And so it's real simple. I say, hey, here's what I need. Here's what I need from you. I love that you're speaking. I love that you're going to be on the stage, but I also need you to be in the audience and be engaged, because I know that you can change a life. I know that next connection, that next opportunity that you can create for somebody in that audience is going to be amazing. And so the only way you can do that is to be a part of it. And so they'll all, except for one, unfortunately, due to some scheduling, they'll all be there at the VIP party. The majority of them will be there at the after party. And so for me, it's really about just asking. Right. I think you'd be really, really surprised, especially if you build a relationship with somebody, you know, how driven they are to serve and to help. And maybe that's just my network because of the people I purposely surround myself with. But I literally say to them like, hey, you know, I'm going to need you to be in the audience. And they go, okay, cool. You know, it's no issue there. But the thought process behind that was going back to when I started and realizing how blessed I was to have the conversations I have. Well, the only way that it's actually going to happen and the impact is going to be made is if they're actually going to be there and they're going to be involved and they're going to spend time with the people that are in the audience. And also for them, they know that if they build those relationships, they'll get clients out of it too, right? So it's a win-win-win across the board. It's how I operate on all levels, is to make sure that everybody involved wins. And a lot of times it's much more than a win-win. There's usually a third person or even fourth person that you need to factor in. And we need to make sure that everybody wins.
Who's the fourth person? Like, how do you, you know, like I can imagine the win is for you. The win is for the speaker. The win is for the audience person that gets to connect. When you're thinking about fourth person, you're just talking about like them connecting to more people. Are you thinking, what is the dimension that I'm missing there?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like I'm very, very small town driven. I mean, I think in 2019, Reading was the fourth winner. Being able to hold, you know, that event in my hometown, we're 30 miles down the road now, unfortunately, but that was just due to logistics of event space. So I think the fourth winner was the town of Reading. Like I literally opened up the event saying, you know, welcome to the new Reading. Like the opportunity that something like this could be held in a town like that, I think that that's a huge win. But as you think long term, like if a speaker or myself is to connect with somebody and we say something from the stage that changes the mindset and that person goes home and they change their home's mindset, and then that changes the neighborhood's mindset, that changes the world's mindset. So there's always more winners beyond, as long as you're truly impact driven and purpose driven, the impact goes far beyond that one ear that happens to hear you, right? And so everything that I do in business, it has to be impact driven. It has to help elevate individuals' messages. It has to help elevate these life-changing things that so many people have to say. And so it's always a hell yes for me if it really helps kind of multiply that. And I always think long-term beyond just that one person, right? If I help a client, they're not hearing from me, but they're hearing from that client who then is changing that life. And so as long as that impact is going down the line, everybody wins.
You know, man, I forgot one of the other reasons why I was such a big fan of you, man, why I am such a big fan of you, right? Like this idea of community impact and seeing beyond your boundary, right? Another one of our core values is that we play the infinite game at my company. And the way that we describe that is we think beyond the boundary of the project, the boundary of the interaction, the boundary of the relationship, right? We think long-term. And the idea that you have the audacity to try to put your town on the map is awesome. And, you know, like when I extrapolate that, and if, you know, maybe, you know, like, Linz is from LA. He's not doing LA any favors, but maybe there's like this one venue that you really want to put on the map, right? Like maybe there's this one thing that you want to get discovered because you're bringing the attention of 50 to 100 people, right? Like there is an extra bit of burst that comes with serving some kind of like noble purpose that's beyond like the first thing that I think works really well. And to think of it on the horizon that you think of it, I think ensures for great intent, and a great intent will generally, you know, help you do the extra things that'll make an event blossom. And I love that. You also do something where it's, I guess I'm going to challenge you here, man. So there is facilitating connection. When I think of facilitating connection, I think of me hanging out in the hallway, making friends all day long. Right. And to do that, I look at the schedule of stuff and I'm like, well, I'm going to learn all this in YouTube. So I'm just going to watch, pay attention here in the hallways. But you do something deliberate, which is you don't give the actual agenda because you believe that keynote speakers may change your life with a message that they give you and you don't know who it's going to come from, right? So like, how do you balance that idea of opening up serendipity to connection and being able to manage your schedule versus like getting what's on the stage?
Yeah. So there's many things I want to say there, but first I want to go back to the idea of why don't I make the schedule and why don't I put out who's speaking when and all that stuff. And this is actually a very specific reason. So I went to an event in Ohio and one of the speakers was a guy named Fabio Viviani, who I mentioned earlier during this chat. And I would literally look at the lineup and go, who the hell cares about a chef? I don't watch reality TV. Like I could care less. Like I don't need to learn how to cook spaghetti. Right. And so this event did not tell you what speaker was speaking when. And I was in that room when he came on stage. I go, oh, here we go. Within 15 minutes into his talk, I turned to my friend next to me and I said, I need to be friends with that guy, because his delivery and his energy that he brought to the room changed my idea of the impact anybody can make. And then a year and a half later, I became very good friends with him. He's one of my dear friends today. But that's why I don't do the schedule. Because if you, for instance, let's go back to that one person who bought a ticket for that one person that was at my event, right? I don't want to blow anybody's ego up, so I'm not going to say who they bought it for. But if they only stayed for that one person and then did nothing for the rest, or didn't go to the other speakers, that's a disservice to the other speakers. If it's my event, it's a disservice for them to be like, oh, well, I have 12 people in the room when that guy had 160 people in the room, right? I'm a big believer in energy. And so the reason I keep people in the room is because when you have a full packed room of excited people, that adds to the energy and it makes people more open to then actually networking and connecting later. Where I want to go with that is not everybody's Pablo. a lot of people are more withdrawn, not always eager to start a conversation with somebody they don't know. And what happens is when somebody is in that room together and they're feeling all that energy, and during those breaks, it's a lot easier for them to say hello. It's a lot easier for them to go, wow, that speaker was amazing. What did you think? Right. So it creates that opportunity. And then I purposely have the going away party and the VIP party to curate hours of time where it is just networking. It is just getting to know each other. It is just building those relationships. And the schedule is perfectly set up in order for them to do that. Friday is a half day, with even in that half day, there's 3 hours of free time for people to network and connect. Right. And then being in that main stage, in that main room, it's about creating the energy for those people to feel comfortable to then go all be Pablos in order to grow and connect and make the connections that they need to make.
That's a rock solid answer, man. Like you answered that better than I imagined. And I was a little bit nervous putting you there. So really well done. I like the idea of intentful energy harvesting, you know, managing people's energies. You and Brian Boger talks about this a lot, like transferring energy to people, and the idea that you can like nuclear reactor it all in one room, and then boof, have like the planned moments where you can now let people feed off of that, and it eases a little bit when they're not social savages like I am. That makes a lot of sense. For the record, I would buy a ticket just to watch Andre Young speak. Just saying, just a good looking man, great speaker. Okay, cool, man. So I like that a lot. So then what do the planned networking times and planned connection times, what does that look like? Are there activities? Is it just booze and let it go? Like what's the move there?
So there's no activities. And here's why. So this is very much selfish of me. I hate activities. Like I hate that curated, let's all go play this game together so we can interact. I've always hated it. I've worked for companies that make us do it. And it was the most cringeworthy day of the week. I'm like, please just let me sit at my computer and be miserable instead of all with you playing checkers, being miserable or whatever game, you know? And so, it's really about free reign. It's about making sure that they're there, right? So obviously we curate the space. We create the energy in the space. Like, you know, it's not totally locked in. So there's probably live music at the VIP party, and then we'll have a DJ at the after party, and really kind of create, again, that energy for people to come together. So we're super excited about that, but it's not overly thought out. There's obviously booze. If people want to do that, that's up to them. I would say in 2019, it was about 50-50 split. 50% of the room got a little tipsy. The other 50% didn't even drink a sip of beer, right? Or whatever their drink of choice is. And so, the reality is the curation of those networking times starts from the very kickoff of the event and ends at the very end of the event. And then hopefully they continue their connections beyond that. I mean, just from 2019, I saw, you know, masterminds get built together. I saw a podcast get launched together. Like these people met these individuals and they started doing all these things together. I think a business got launched from it. I think a relationship started. And so the idea that if you create the right energy, people are going to then get drawn to each other in the time that they're supposed to. And this is very spiritual woo-woo, but it's the reality of how we are. We're all energy, right? We're all some sort of energy, neutrons and electrons and all that stuff. And so as long as you shake that cage enough, they'll get drawn to the right people. And so no activities. I'm sorry to say that there probably won't be karaoke. Somebody said, use the force, Justin. Yeah, that's, I try. But again, you know, Brian Bogert is a business partner of mine who's actually going to be at the event as one of the movement makers. And it really is the reality that you can do that. And here's the thing about energy and creating that atmosphere. That's what people remember. That's what they carry with them for the next 3, 6 months, 10 months, hopefully 12 months, whatever, because that's a feeling that you can't get anywhere else. And so why not be able to kind of create that for them and almost in a sense, force them to be in that seat, right? You're kind of forced, because if you're there for one speaker, you don't know when that person's coming. I like putting polls in the Facebook group for all the attendees of the event saying, you know, who do you think is going to be this? Who do you think is going to be that? And a majority of the time they're wrong because I purposely curate certain things, right? Nobody knew Fabio was going to be the third speaker. They thought he was going to close out the event. So I purposely move things around so people are, you know, keep the energy right throughout the event, because every speaker is different.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm a believer in what you're saying, right? Like the idea that people remember the way that they felt, and the way that they felt is the energy that you have inside of you and, you know, whatever that mood is and whatnot, man. The other thing that I'm a really big believer in is what you said earlier of vulnerability forges connection. And when I think of you rattling that cage, I think of the idea that the more everybody is forced to be in a different environment, the more everybody's on the same page. And if everyone's on the same page, it's like freshman year of college, right? Like everybody's just like, oh, okay, well, we're all equal right now. It doesn't matter what I did last week. Let's go talk. And if you rattle a cage enough, then, you know, it's the same thing, man. How do you, when you think about it from a vulnerability standpoint, I know that you lead with vulnerability. I know that you ask your speakers to lead with vulnerability. Is there anything else that you think can be done to lubricate that, to ease that, to encourage people to be more vulnerable?
No, I think that's the best way to do it, right? To be able to share openly and vulnerably. Like I look at any relationship that I've been able to create, it started with me vulnerably sharing my whys, right? Why am I doing this? What have I been through? What are my ups and downs and all that stuff, right? The magic, when I always say in podcasting, the magic happens before you hit record and after you hit record, not necessarily in the middle. You just hope there's some golden nuggets in there that people keep listening to the show. But if you're able to do that right from the get at an event, immediately people are going to be like, wow, okay. There's some emotions flowing through my body right now, whether it's sad, whether it's excited, whether it's whatever. And that I think opens people up. You know, we host some retreats and there's activities that we do at the retreats that can also do that, but that doesn't work for a large event, right? That's very much like small room, have them do it. But I think by giving that vulnerability, by sharing openly, other people will tend to do it as well. I can't tell you how many people reach out to me and tell me their life story. Because they know how often I share mine. And it's usually unprompted. So it's pretty amazing to see what happens. And I think you're going to be pretty blown away by what happens at this event. Because it's like nothing you've seen before. I promise you that. Because I know the events you go to.
Well, I mean, that sounds almost like a backhanded compliment. But you're right. I am very much looking forward to this version, right? Like kind of what we call this idea of, this is like your wedding, right? Like you are purposefully curating the people that are going to show up. You're purposefully setting the, you know, kind of like the ambiance and what's going to happen. And if you do it really, really right, it turns out to be like a really, really magical evening. Stacy writes in the Q&A, she says, I sure hope you have another one of these events. I can't go in May, but wow, need to sign up for your mailing list for sure. Stacy, listen, man, I put in the chat Justin's podcast. I can't recommend it any higher. Growth Now Movement podcast. Like, keep up with him there for sure. And I'm sure there's some way to get on your mailing list from there. But for now, I'm going to keep this thing going. If anybody has any questions, right, like this would be a great time to start putting that into the Q&A. If you want to come on screen, ask Justin a question, I'll bring you in and, you know, you can talk person to person with a top five podcaster in the world. Justin, let's pivot a little bit to virtual events, right? Like you are one of the things that I find most interesting is that you are now well-versed in both of these worlds. You had the one in 2019, you were about to have it 2020. You had to pivot last minute. I thought your virtual event in 2020 kicked ass, man. Like I thought it was really, really good. I was like the number one fan in there who won the award for most chatting and you've done a couple more. So can you tell me what makes a good virtual event and where you see that going?
Yeah, dude, that's such a good question. And I don't know if I know the answer. I thought the first virtual event I did was phenomenal. It turned out really well. The feedback was absolutely incredible. The chat was blowing up. Obviously, you're a big part of that. We did some cool things. We had is that when we did the happy hour with Mike Kim? Was that the first one or the second
one?
We were able to, like, my whole, again, going back into how do I create an experience for people? I don't want people sitting at home going, ugh, another damn Zoom call, right? We were already so far into the COVID thing by the time I ended up doing that. I didn't want to be just another boring event. So I would say, I'm going to say two things. First, I will say, if you're going to do it, get creative. Don't just be like any other event. So whether that is how you're presenting yourself, make it look a little bit different. Have it flow faster. If you're going to do it live, like I did, do all those things, mix up the speakers properly, right? Like the flow is very, very important, right? When I think about my event, you're going to see a keynote speaker, a panel, a keynote speaker, Q&A, this, that. So I purposely situate it so it's not the same thing over and over and over again. I did that virtually as well. So I would say if you're going to do something virtually, get creative. Create an environment that people feel like they're in a room. And I think I did a really good job of that the first time around. The second time around, I did another live one that something was off and I don't really know what it is. And this is why I say to you, like, I don't know how to properly do it. Right. I mean, the engagement was pretty good. The energy just didn't feel right. Like I wasn't that excited about it because I was just so over the virtual world by then. And so now I'm going to answer what people should do. Number one, you yes. shouldn't do it live. I think pre-recording is the way to go. I just spoke at an event on Saturday, but I was actually just hanging out when I was speaking at this event, right? So I had pre-recorded it. Now they had some live interaction from the host of the event, but I was able to speak virtually, but it was recorded. So I think that's huge. I think it's easier for people to consume it. And I would say go shorter. Like my two virtual events were 2 days long, where I think virtual events need to be a half day. I think a half day at most, one full day, but have it flow very, very rapidly, and then make it super affordable. The second one I did was actually free. Maybe that's why it wasn't that great. Maybe you shouldn't do it free. Maybe just super affordable and then create that experience. But I like the pre-recorded aspect now. And then if you want, have the speakers chime in. Like I spoke at a virtual event where my talk was pre-recorded and then I came in and did a live Q&A. It just makes it easier. When you're doing it on the back end, there's so many logistical things and whether tech doesn't work or does work. Apparently I was blurry in my opening keynote when I did the first one and I didn't even know it. Thank God no one put it in the chat because I mentally would have been lost. But like those are the things you can't control. But if you pre-record stuff, it's a lot easier to kind of control the flow and give individuals what they're looking for. But I think the experience is really big and then give them an opportunity to watch the recordings later, because not everybody's going to be overly available to just sit in their house and watch. And so if you're going to do something free, I would upsell into like, hey, you can have access to these things later if you would like, and upsell them into that. So that's my thought process around it now. I will pre-record anything going forward if I do it virtually. It's just so much easier because the stress level was so high. And then to not have the human interaction in person made the stress level almost not worth it, right? Like there's stress with a live event too, but then I get to get together with all these amazing people at the end of all the stress and I get to decompress and get to, you know, finally connect, where you can't really do that virtually. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think a lot of good tidbits. I would have never thought that pre-recording would be better, but it makes a lot of sense that at the end of the day, the energy can be the same. You allow them to like produce. Like I went to like a really good virtual event by Terminus and it was this like super like energetic, like well-produced things. And the speakers were in the chat, like hammering away. And you know, I had a huge takeaway from your first virtual event. And it was the idea that normally when I'm at an event, I always have this like conundrum of, I want to listen to the speakers, but I really want to make friends with everybody. So I always miss the speakers, while like at a virtual event, I was able to listen to the speakers and jab away on the chat and make friends with, you know, like I got a call with Anthony Trucks the next day, which plus I made a bunch of other friends, right? Like I had somebody from that event on my podcast because I was like, oh, this is a cool story. So yeah, man, what about Gareth has a question. You know, Jakob has a question first that he put in the chat. Jakob, you're supposed to use the Q&A, buddy. Yes. And this might just be a quick no, right? But like, do you have any experience with events or have you looked into metaverse, Web3 events, any of that stuff?
No, man, I don't know. I'm a late adopter to all that stuff. I've had a couple NFT people on my show. I don't own an NFT. I don't own Bitcoin. I just feel like I'm a late adopter to so many different things. Yeah. So I haven't looked into it. It kind of creeps me out, if I had to be totally honest with you. There's little 3D structures of us. I don't think it's the event space for our generation, but I really do feel like it can be powerful for the next one. Like I see, you know, my girlfriend's son and how he wants VR so bad and wants to be in that screen universe all the time. So yeah, I mean, I think there's something cool there. It's not me.
Yeah. Quick tangent. I'm becoming kind of obsessed with Web3. I'm like a tech idiot, right? Like I like people. And I'm becoming, you know, it's starting to hit me. I'm like, you know what, man? I saw Web 1 happen and people get rich, and Web 2 happen, people will get rich. It's like Web 3 is coming. It's going to be huge. I'm at the peak of my powers. How do I get wealthy off of this thing? And I'm really thinking about the one thing that I don't see is like business in the metaverse podcast, right? Like I think I'm going to start that, just to network my way in, kind of like Andy did with his like my first NFT, but like business use cases of people in the metaverse, I think is really interesting. That's it. This is not about me. This is about you. Gareth Beverly, he has a question. Do you mix in virtual networking and any pro tips for that? And I'm going to expand that question to virtual networking and also any pro tips for actual networking at events that you've seen that brought people together.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know if I'm the Pablo is probably the guy to answer this question more than me. But like Pablo is the networker. I'm not the greatest at networking, even though I've done it for so long. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm just naturally whatever. I mean, if I had to give any kind of tips on networking, I would lead how I lead all my conversations, or I would end the conversation by saying, let me know how I can support you. I think people try too hard to get what they need to get out of every single connection that they're trying to make versus what can I give to every single connection I'm trying to make. Like people ask me, like, how are you friends with Ed Mylett? And how are you friends with Trent Shelton? And how are you friends with Gabby Bernstein? And, well, it's because I don't ever ask them for anything and I lead with giving and I figure out how I can give to them. If you want strong, long-term relationships, just give. The rest is going to take care of itself, right? Virtually, I feel like I tried to do the networking, speed dating networking virtually, and that failed miserably. That wasn't the greatest thing. I think not enough people got involved in that and all that stuff. But Pablo could probably speak to that. Like he said, he connected with Anthony Trucks after my event and so many other people as well. So I'm gonna let you take the mic on the networking question.
Oh man, I just first of all, like, thank you for being genuine, right? Like, and just being like, yeah, no, my speed networking thing sucked, because they normally do suck, right? It's really hard for people to make a connection in like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then be on to the next one. And I think what works for you, Justin, is the same thing that works for me. It's being genuine and being authentic and being vulnerable, right? Like, and wanting to serve. That's at the core, you know, base strategy of networking. That's what's gonna bring you friends. I love that you end with, let me know how I can help you. I think that's a great one. I did that too. That's how I got my first client, right? Like, I was on with him asking him advice on how I can be a speaker. And at the end, I was like, how can I help you, man? And you know, that led to everything I'm doing. Other stuff, I think the opening part is good, you know, like something that people usually need help with. And I find that if you can lead with an opening question that doesn't have like an answer that they're used to giving, it'll help you kind of get a conversation started. My normal go-to is, what brought you here? Right? Because that's like, it's not what do you do? It's not like whatever. It allows somebody to give you a kind of a glimpse into their incentives. And once you figure out someone's incentives, you can talk about stuff of what they're, you know, you can talk about things in relationship to what they want as opposed to what you want, which is kind of everything.
I like that question. What brings you here? That's a great question. I mean, and you can ask that in any situation, any scenario.
I say that all the time.
Really good. And I'll say this too. And I haven't shared this anywhere. I've hinted towards it, but I am launching a Growth Now community, which is a new venture that I'm launching within my business. And part of it is going to be networking opportunities for the individuals that are in the community, because it is important. That's the life-changing stuff, right? And Pablo, I think you're a great example of that. Like, if you connect with the right people, you're going to connect. You're going to change your life. You're going to grow. You're going to get the things that you need in life. Because without relationships, nothing else matters, right? That's why, you know, I hate to keep talking about this, but in the beginning of COVID, when people were losing relationships, there was so much mental health issues, so many mental health issues. And the reason is because we need connection. And so if you can kind of curate that. And so I'm saying this because Gareth asked, you know, do you do virtual networking? I'm going to find out real fast how I can do it the right way and make it life-changing. I just don't know what that is yet. There's been a lot of research going on and trying to figure out the best way to give people the opportunity to connect with the right people. And so, yeah, that'll be part of the community that I'm launching here in a couple months, but that'll be interesting. I'll keep you posted, or you can join.
Join, for sure, man.
Find out how I do it.
Yeah, definitely, man. I, you know that I'm going to be poking around that thing. And you know me, man, I've been obsessed with the community angle. It sounds like Stacy's also a community nerd like myself. And you know, if you need any kind of resources in that regard, I'm happy to bounce around what makes sense and what doesn't. Justin, anything else, man? Is there anything else that's like heavy on your mind that you want to share, or like something that you'd love to kind of like give to the audience before we wrap up here?
Yeah. You know, as we're talking about events and how much the world has changed, I said to you earlier that I talked to a couple other people who were in the event space and they'd crush it and they'd sell out all their events. And now, you know, they're not really selling out. And I've been fortunate enough that, you know, my VIP tickets are about sold out, and, you know, we'll get to where we need to be, which is exciting to see. But I think people forgot what it's like and the importance of being in the right room, being surrounded with like-minded people. And getting a little uncomfortable if you get uncomfortable going to live events, how important it is in our own growth and our own mental health and everything we have going forward. And so if my event's not the event you're going to say yes to, I encourage you to say yes to an event that is finally coming back. You know, support the event planners, support the people that are putting these things together, but most importantly, support yourself. And these events are a great tool for you to grow your business, grow your personality, grow your network, grow your mental health and where it is right now. So I would say yes to an event in 2022, no matter what that is, because I think it's so important. And I think a lot of people have forgotten how important it is.
That is sage advice, man. And I'm glad we opened up the floor for that. I knew you'd have something to deliver. I'm just going to throw it out there. GrowthNowSummit.com. Say yes to that event. Come hang out with me. Like, I would love to, you know, most of this chat is a bunch of people that I would love to see in person and spend some more time. I think it's going to be an awesome event. Like I said, three of those VIP tickets are us. We're bringing me, my partner Isar, and our chief heart officer Gina. And we're making it a whole like BTS summit of self-improvement. So you get my stamp, listen to Justin's podcast, Growth Now Movement, changed my life for reals. And I just want to say thanks, man. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some wisdom. I think you gave some really practical advice on like how to pull off a grassroots event, the perspective of it, the work involved, kind of how much you care is very, very obvious. And, you know, I've gotten the chance to tell you this a bunch, man, but like, you're one of these guys that affected my life way before you knew me, and you continue to, and I kind of follow your example on a lot of things. And that's really, really important to me, man. So I appreciate your mentorship and I appreciate your friendship, my friend.
Pablo, thank you so much for having me, man. I've loved this conversation. Always love our conversations, which last time we spoke, we said we don't do it enough. So we have to do it more often. But thank you guys so much for being so lively in the chat. I know I couldn't read and talk and do all the same things, but I read a number of them. So thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. Let's thank everybody, man. Camp, you know, you took out an hour of your day on a Monday. I'd never take that for granted. I appreciate you coming, being part of the community. Cameron, you're the best. Gareth, man, I'm so pumped to be reconnected. Jesse, I love how much you've been coming back to this thing and how close we've gotten as a result. Lori, I appreciate your support on LinkedIn. And I hope to get to know you better. Lindsay, my boy, we talked yesterday. Stacy, so pumped you stumbled into here. Yakup, you know, I think Jakob is my next guest. He's Jakob's a content AI guy who's developed an expertise there. So yeah, that's right. Jakob, he's coming up on Monday, right? So we're talking content AI and how you can like save time and put out a bunch of great content and build your platform and connect with people. And I think you're really going to love it. Last but not least, if you want to learn how to do a live show like this so that you can connect with awesome people, build a stage, have folks showing up, and then turn it into a podcast and YouTube and have it lead to revenue, we are right now selling tickets into the Relationship Flywheel Bootcamp Season 2. Linz was a part of it. Linz, feel free to tell people in the chat what you think. And it was awesome. Season 1 was great. So the next one is going to be really, really great. I can't wait. We already got it half filled in. Justin, what was your biggest moment of growth?
Dude, you put me on the spot. You know, it's funny. That's a question I ask every single person on my show. I think you asked me when I was on your podcast before. But it was when my mom passed away. And the actual specific moment was about 3 months after she passed away. And I realized I was blackout drunk 6 nights a week, kind of running from the pain. And it was when I decided to feel that pain. And what I realized was, and I've added to this answer since I told you before, because of the realization, but I realized that as human beings, we choose our rock bottom moment. We define it. And if we can say, this is my rock bottom moment, it doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen to us again in the future. Well, what it means is we're not going to react so negatively to the bad things that happen. And so after my bad reaction to my mom passing away, which I totally forgive myself for, because it was normal in a way, I define that as my rock bottom moment. And I've been through hardships since then, and they haven't stopped me from continuously growing and becoming my better self. And so when I look at that, I realized that was my biggest moment of growth, is when I defined my rock bottom moment and use that as a jumping off point to do what I do now.
That was kind of unfair for me to throw that at you, man. It just kind of hit me that you end your shows with that. And I like to copy you, man, but thank you for sharing that. You define your own rock bottom moment. Growth Now Movement Summit, you know, like if you need to kick yourself out of a slump, if you need to seek like a up ramp of growth, like I did when I found Justin's podcast, join us May 20th, buddy. Love you, man. Thank you for everything.
Thanks, brother. Love you.
See ya. All right. If you were not made uncomfortable by the level of bromance happening in that room, I clearly did not put forth how much I admire and how much I, you know, really, really respect Justin and what I think of him. You know, this, before I get to the Marvel movie teaser here, normally what I'm doing in this part of the outro of the podcast is telling you where we're going to be next. And I feel like we've told you that throughout this whole episode, right? Like Growth Now Movement Summit, my whole leadership team is going end of May, Lititz, Pennsylvania. This, you just heard a whole promo about it. So you get it. Let's get to this Marmol movie teaser piece. I thought it was just really eye-opening, the idea that Justin, a masterful event creator, was given the advice by Chris Kremitzos, the creator of PodFest, and by the way, which is where I met Isar, my business partner, but a beast of a community organizer, event creator himself, that the way you fill an event is not audience in, it's relationship out, right? That is at the core of everything that I talk about, is this idea that we have it twisted. Everybody thinks that thanks to being able to make content and thanks to the social medias and whatnot and sophisticated marketing funnels, it's all about this like massive kind of like group of people that are out there and how you can bring them in. But the more that you dive into it, the more you realize that it all starts relationship out, not audience in. It starts with really knowing that person that you want to serve, really having a deep relationship with that person that you want to serve. And all the good stuff that comes after comes from that. It comes from that core relationship building. To sell a 500 person event, the best way to do it is to have one meeting a day for 500 days with the people that you want to bring to your event. The better they know you, the more they're going to want to do business with you, the more they're going to believe you. And it's not even the better they know you, it's the better they feel that you understand them. And that's why I preach this whole methodology of the relationship flywheel. That's why I host online shows live. Trust me, it's way easier to produce a podcast pre-recorded, because you can stack episodes, you can really control your schedule, you don't have to go through all this work of promoting it, getting people to show up, moderating it, right? It's less, there's less risk to mess up because you can post-edit. But the idea of having the people that I want to get to know, the people I want to get to do business with, the people that I want to follow in the methodologies and connect with the things that I'm saying, having you show up live allows me to understand you better. It allows you to add context to the show that I wouldn't have thought of. It allows us to feel closer together so that the day that I need something, the day that I have something to offer, the day that I now start communicating this message at mass through paid advertising, it's coming straight from the things that you most connect with, the things that you most have a problem with, the problems that you most want to solve. And that's why we host this Relationship Flywheel Bootcamp. We are teaching this methodology because that is what we do for our clients at $100,000 a year. And we're just not doing it for enough people. And I want more people to understand it, right? So for under $500, 4-week bootcamp where you learn everything, what the show needs to be about, how to get people there, how to get guests, what to talk to the guests about, how to promote it afterwards, how to grow it, and how to lead to revenue and lead to it feeding your business. That is live right now. We are filling up slots fast for end of April. Go to bethestage.live/bootcamp. I would love to see you at this one, right? We're doing it for less than $500 right now. It's going to go up in the future. This is only our second cohort that we're doing. First one was awesome. We're making it much better. And there's nothing more than I would love than to give you this value, give you the methodologies and the processes of everything that has built a $40 million community for JWB, and everything that I have learned over the last 8 years about community creation, content, and building a business around all of this. I really want to share it with you because I know it's going to be a great value to your life. Again, if you're interested, it's going to be linked here in the show notes, but it's bethestage.live/bootcamp. And as always, I'm going to thank my team. Number one, I want to thank Roanne, who helps me coordinate this. She's the one that is helping me book the guests, and she's in the chat managing the community. I want to thank JP, who's editing this stuff and putting it together. I want to thank Nicola, who's turning into the best writer in the world on our team. He's running the descriptions and the captions and stuff like that. I want to thank Joyce. I want to thank Joanna. I want to thank Marge. I want to thank Gina, our COO, and our chief heart officer, who is the center of our culture. And I want to thank my partner, Isar, for jumping on this ride with me and helping us build out this business. And remember, until next time, never forget that relationships will always be more valuable than transactions.